What is up, everybody? On behalf of everyone here at Digital 410 Media, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving. And we're doing it again. We're doing a back-to-back Patreon giveaway. So if you have yet to decide to sign up for Patreon, please head over to patreon.com/D410. Sign up for the December member prize giveaway. This month, we are thrilled to feature the beautiful exclusive print from Military Aerospace Art, showcasing the incredible bravery of First Lieutenant Huey Lamb Jr. The stunning piece captures a historic mission on March 19, 1945, with Lieutenant Lamb piloting his P-51 Mustang, the Etta Jean II. Intercepting and destroying a low-flying Ardo 234 jet. Don't miss your chance to own the slice of World War II aviation history that is autographed by Huey Lamb Jr. Thank you guys so much for your continued support through 2024. We're looking forward to 2025. Happy Thanksgiving, and we love you all.
Marijuana in your brain takes more time to ejaculate. Roll up a spliff and draws
ejaculate.
Away day-day with marijuana in your brain.
Hey.
How often do you hear reggae mixed with what the kids nowadays call EDM? We used to call techno back in the day. That's Lords of Acid off their 1990-something-ish album. Lords of Acid Voodoo.
Album.
It's an album. My Life, the Thrill Kill Cult.
Fancy.
I am the new way to go. I am the way of the future. Name that soundtrack, Mike. I am the new way to go. I am the way of the future.
I have no idea.
Morgan?
I can't really hear it there either.
Oh.
It kind of comes and goes.
I mean, yeah, it's Zoom.
If you're able to share your computer audio, you'd be able to hear it a lot better.
My Life of the Thrill Kill Cult from the Crow soundtrack.
That was a classy movie.
Classy or classic? A little bit of both?
A little bit of both.
Did you see the remake?
I'd call it classy, just because I'm not sure I care for it.
I haven't seen it,
but I know it exists.
Something to die for.
Yeah, I suppose. What's up, OG5? It's another episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. Hold on, no, it's not, because I didn't hit record, because we're trying to record the show in a new way. No, I'm recording the audio. I'm just not recording the video
recording
yet.
In progress.
Ooh, recording in progress. Again. What's up, OG5? How are you all doing tonight? We are back with another episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. Let's get a full screen on this guy here. Where's the full screen at? Oh, Lord. Anyhow, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, you know.
Mike still got his Tom Selleck.
You know it, baby.
I was going to say it's Pat Buchanan, but I don't know where the hell that came from.
Magnum PU.
That's right.
I strongly suggest going on like Tubi and watching classic movies from the 80s and 70s. The other night before I lost my internet for 3 days. Yeah, thanks, Quantum. Be fair to Quantum, I think it's the assholes digging up my neighborhood. But yeah, my internet went out Monday morning, and I just got it back like 3 hours ago. But prior to that, I was running myself, much like we did for the fight night, I was running my TV off of my Wi-Fi. And fun fact, Mike, I have unlimited data on my phone. But apparently, what T-Mobile does, and I'm sure other cell phone companies do it too, is they don't want
the old throttle back scheme.
Well, not even that. What they've done is they've separated it because they don't want to lose money, right?
Sure.
And so my cell phone, as an independent entity, gets unlimited data. All the data I want, but my T-Mobile hotspot has a cap, yeah. And so I've been watching TV off my phone through my phone, and yesterday I get a text message. You have used 80% of your data. After another 20%, your hotspot bandwidth will be throttled down like 600 megs or some shit. But luckily, I only had 4 more days before it refreshes. But yeah, I got my internet back today. But as I was saying, I started watching. I've never seen it. I've heard about it. We've all heard the song. We're going to have a convoy. Convoy, the movie. I'm sure, Morgan, you've seen Convoy, the movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, howdy. That's definitely not a comedy.
No, not at all.
I watched most of it, then I had to go to bed. I went to bed right around the time the poor black fellow got apprehended by the racist cops in, like, West Texas, and they beat the shit out of him. That's about where the movie paused for me. I got to watch the rest of it. But I had to look because there was an interesting aspect, acting choice on the guy who played the role of the sheriff. Because I'm like, why is he kind of giving me like a more serious Buford T. Justice vibe? I'm thinking, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
Sure.
And so I Googled it, thinking, well, maybe Buford T. Justice was a comedic portrayal of this particular dickhead sheriff from Convoy. Turns out Convoy was made in 78. Smokey and the Bandit was made in 77. So it was almost like Burt Young, I think, who played the cop? Seymour.
Ernest Borgnine.
Yes, Ernest Borgnine kind of took a serious poke at, because there was some very similar characters and portrayal of how he acted, how he talked. It was like a less funny, more serious, more racist version of Buford T. Justice. And I thought that was it was an interesting character perspective on actor perspective on how to play that character. Unless he was told, hey, we want a serious, more racist version of Buford T. Justice. I just thought it was, to have two movies backed up that close, to have it so similar, to have two. I mean, I get it. You're all doing road trip pieces, right? But it was definitely an interesting choice. The other thing I noticed, which I would like to see come back into vogue, it wouldn't. But at the beginning of the movie, it's Martin's, aka the Rubber Duck's, birthday, right? And so he stops at that truck stop after they get pulled over by the more serious, more racist version of Buford T. Justice, and he milks them for a bunch of money and takes all their money instead of impounding their trucks. And they pull up at the truck stop, where the realistically plain waitress takes the ever so attractive blue-eyed Kris Kristofferson back to his semi-truck for a little poke and soak, if you know what I mean.
The old lot lizard special.
The old, you know, let's crawl in the back of your bed truck and lay down. She was not a pretty actress. She was a normal,
Are you talking about Ally McGraw?
I guess. I mean, she may have been prettier later in life, but in that movie, they definitely didn't make her up. You know what I mean? She was kind of made down and definitely plain Jane looking in that movie. She wasn't, out of all the actresses on the screen, and maybe they dolled her down to make Cassie Yates look better. I don't know. But I just thought, you know, nowadays that scene, it would be like some smoking hot brunette, you know, or smoking hot blonde if the other girl's a brunette. It wouldn't be a normal looking chick that you would actually see working as a waitress at a Greasy Spoon truck stop in the middle of fucking nowhere, Missouri. And, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because Hollywood likes to talk a big game, right? Oh, we're all inclusive. We're all inclusive. So we've got to make sure everything. Yeah, oh, you're all inclusive until it comes to plain looking or slightly overweight chicks, right? Just like Carrie, you know, as a husband or a partner, you have to do what I like to call watch shows by proxy. Meaning, you know, hey, if we're going to spend some time together watching TV, you're going to watch some of the bullshit I like, and I'm going to watch some of the bullshit you like. And one of the shows that I have to watch by proxy is Love is Blind. Where the whole concept is, they go into these pods, they talk to each other through a screen, and they date until they find their quote-unquote love, and they propose to them before they ever see what each other looks like. Which is great! You know, the whole concept is, love is blind, let's not judge someone based on their appearance. And if you do this this way, there's a chance that you'll actually talk and meet somebody that you would either be too scared to talk to in real life or wouldn't give the time of day to in real life. Right? Great concept. The only problem, once again, this is Hollywood. So even their Love is Blind cast, they're all usually sevens and above. You know, I've yet to see dudes and girls, right? You know, the most unattractive dude would still be a seven in real life or an eight. The most unattractive chick on the show would still be a, like, why don't we take this for what it's worth? Let's have some fucking threes and twos on there and let's see if Love is Truly Blind and see what happens.
Throw somebody on there that looks like this guy.
Yeah.
Mustache and all.
Yeah, let's mix it up. Let's put in like the increasingly super skinny, you know, like the guy from Road Trip, you know, the one in his underwear, the DJ. What's a, turns out he's gay in real life. Yeah, you know, the super skinny guy and, you know, and the real heavy chick or super skinny, like heroin looking like she came straight out of the trailer park in Mississippi, you know, one of Morgan's future neighbors, and then like some big fat dude. Like, let's see if Love is Blind. But, you know, even on those shows where they are Love is Blind or, you know, this and that, it's, you know, it's like you watch these shows like there's no way any of you were really single. And then what happens? They find out 8 episodes in, Steve had a girlfriend before he came on the show. No shit. He's a fucking 8. No shit. He had a girlfriend. He probably had 3. So, you know, it's just, it would be interesting and to see Hollywood be truly honest when they say we all want to be all inclusive. Oh, I mean, they kind of did a little bit with Kevin James, right? When King of Queens first came out, the concept, Kevin James's fat ass would be with her hot, skinny ass. But even still, he started to lose weight as time went by. Actually, she started to gain weight. So, but, you know, even Megan McCarthy, she's hot, you know. And so it's like, can we get some, I'm sure there's some real plain Jane looking dudes and plain Jane chicks out there who can fucking act. Let's give them a role. Let's have you guys finally put your money where your mouth is when it comes to the great big tent that is Hollywood.
So basically my life is like the real version of King of Queens. I'm just a fat, dumpy dude. My wife is hot.
From the,
you know, it's like
she a bridge and tunnel girl from Jersey.
No, she's not a Jersey girl, but she's definitely way out of my league. But I don't know, Love is Blind because I talked her into marrying me. So
and it would be nice to actually see Hollywood try to produce that reel, and they're like, well, no one will watch it. Well, that's not true because people watch my 600-pound life and there ain't nothing attractive about those fools. Yeah. I mean, and they're going full-blown, you know, damn near nude on those.
Well, remember the, what was the show back in the, it wasn't a relationship show, but just putting, you know, severely overweight people on TV and stuff like that. Like
The Biggest Loser.
Around life or like Honey Boo Boo and
yeah.
The Biggest Loser and all that kind of stuff.
Jerry Springer.
Well, that was the original.
Well, the crazy thing about the Honey Boo Boo stuff, a big surprise, half the people in that family turn out to be somewhat pedophiles and creepers. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, come on, man.
Well, I'm, and I like the people who feign surprise, right? It's like, how, what do you mean? It's like, well, hold on a second. Let's look where Honey Boo Boo came from. You remember I'm proud to say I've never seen an episode. I just remember the news stories. Do you remember the origin stories of Honey Boo Boo? Where she came from? How
that
she
was, the pageant queen show.
Toddlers and Tiaras.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Which I've also never seen an episode of, but I've also gone on to record saying any male judge involved in childhood pageantry should be investigated. To me, that whole thing just screams fucking pedophile island. Yeah. And so the fact that you got a person who came from a group of people who were into the child pageantry stuff, and then turns out her baby daddy or, you know, Mama June's boyfriend's a pet. Really? Didn't see that one coming. So yeah, not too surprised there. I've never felt so old until I heard this. You guys, I'm sure Mike's familiar with the phrase simp.
I'm familiar.
It's I'm familiar, but it's newer. At least
something your kid would say or his, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying I never felt older.
Like my generation younger.
But do you know what SIMP stands
who are we
for?
Simping for?
You know what SIMP stands for? That's my question. This is why I've never felt so old until today, because I've always known I've always known what these stood for.
I believe it's basically a.
You know what the acronym SIMP stands for?
No, I didn't know that it was an acronym. I just understood that it meant somebody that is like oogly over or something.
Now that I know what it's an acronym for, I actually appreciate the creativity and the originality of this, because I just assume it was a shortened version for simpleton, right? Just go sus is suspect, right? You know, they're too dumb, yeah. Too lazy to write the word suspect out, so they just say sus. Plus, it came from that game, you know, fucking whatever that game was. You had to find the sus person. Do you know what SIMP stands for, Morgan? Without looking, I see you on your phone, and you're going to have a hard time finding it. It doesn't stand for squirrel in my pants.
I was actually looking it up because there's like references to that, like back in old school hip hop. So,
and it's funny you say that, because I have actually gone back. I listen to old school hip hop, and I've actually heard acronyms on shit from the early 2000s and late 90s that kids are using nowadays. So they've revived some.
I've heard that too. Yeah.
But simp, and like I said, right, as of yesterday, this hearing someone say this, because it's said all the time, drive me crazy. But now that I know, it stands for suckers idolizing mediocre pussy. Meaning like your homeboy who, you know, back to our previous conversation, you know, get some kind of like, you know, somebody you would think, well, that he's in like love with that like weird librarian chick who likes to press flowers on the weekend, you know, he's bending over backwards, and you know, she's just some stick in the mud, but he's like, he's gone. Instead of pussy whipped, like we would have said in the 90s, oh, he's pussy. No, he's a simp. He's a sucker idolizing mediocre pussy.
So, just a quick side note, you know, back in the day, you know, when gangster rap first came out.
I've never heard you sound whiter. Back in the day when gangster rap came out.
Well, yeah.
You're like the news reporters.
Came out.
You're like the news reporters the night I was in jail and Tupac got shot. Tupac Shaker was shot today in Las Vegas, and all the brothers in the jailhouse were yelling, "Tupac got shot," making fun of the news reporters all night long. Tupac Shaker.
Oh man!
So yes, back when gangster rap music was proliferated.
Oh my gosh! So anyway, you know, reference to Gats. You know, it was all through that. And so I'm over at my grandmother's house, and she said something about, you know, the neighbors acting up, and she was going to get her gat and, you know, sorted out. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, where did you hear that? And she's like, that's been around since like the 40s. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, there's really nothing new.
Yep.
You know, you know, appropriate our stuff from the generations before.
Well, and I think it's also, you know, culturally too, because, you know, our generation would have, you know, pulled that from hip hop culture and black culture and stuff like that, or even like some Spanish culture, you know, calling it a gat. But you saying that you said it was your grandmother that said the word gat, that, you know, was from back in the 40s. And obviously
it was back earlier than that. I just Googled that shit. What do you think gat stands for? Why would they call it a gat?
Because it's probably a reference to a Gatling gun. It's
fucking exactly right. It goes all the way back to 1904. This is 1904 slang. Shortened for the Gatling gun, which is from the 1880s. So, yes, gat does in fact go back to fucking 1904, making reference to a pistol, which kind of looked with the revolver, kind of looked like a miniature version of a Gatling gun with the barrel, the revolver in it.
That's wild.
That's funny.
We not have to get the gat, no.
What does the phrase "gotta check nuts" reference?
Gotta check nuts.
Check nuts.
I don't know. Never heard that one.
I'm out.
Two Dope says check nuts. Fucking Ghetto Boys talk about check nuts, and in their songs.
Really?
Yep.
Never heard that one.
I think Easy, Ice Cube, Check Nuts. So,
yeah, I know he had to check himself before he wrecked himself.
Well, if you think about it, you kind of grab your dick, right? Well, where do people who don't believe in the use of holsters keep their firearms? Right above their dick and their waistline. So when they check nuts, they're lifting their shirt to show you they have a gun. So better check nuts. It's a slang for showing you off your fucking piece in the waistband.
There's another slang
piece. Which, to you modern day gangsters out there, I know we're huge with the blood community. Holsters are cheap and affordable. You can go head over to d-410.com/1791 and get yourself a beautiful deer hide holster. I have one. They fucking work great. There's nothing more dangerous than sticking a naked pistol in your crotch, especially one that doesn't have a mechanical safety. Glocks, for example, they have the trigger safety, but they don't have the backstrap safety. And so your t-shirt could simply set that thing off when it gets stuck in your trigger. So never put a firearm in your pants without a trigger guard. That's why you need a holster from the fine people at 1791. That's how that's done, ladies and gentlemen.
Great segue, bud.
How was your pie, Mike?
It fucking sucked.
Why did you?
I had two different kinds. I had classic pumpkin, and then I had mixed fruit. I had a slice of each. We had a community event where I live, and they were serving pie. And believe it or not, Xfinity sponsored the event, and that's who I have internet through.
That just means our office manager lives in your neighborhood.
and the people that sponsored our event, it was funny because my Xfinity internet was out on my phone and my TV earlier, and I went to an Xfinity sponsored event in my community. So kudos to them. But the second pie was, I think, called like mixed fruit or something like that. I think it was all red fruits, nothing crazy. But like your cherries and maybe a raspberry or something like that. That was pretty good. But still processed.
You know why it didn't taste good? Because I'm imagining it's a canned pumpkin puree that they made the pumpkin pie from. And do you know what pumpkin pie made from canned puree is actually made of? Canned pumpkin.
Orange 5 and yellow 7.
Close enough. Canned pumpkin is usually made from squash and not pumpkins.
Mm.
So whenever you get canned pumpkin pie puree, you're actually making a squash pie and not an actual pumpkin pie, which is probably why when you see the cheaper pumpkin pies, they don't quite taste right because, after all.
That's why I feed canned pumpkin to my dogs and I don't eat it myself.
It makes their fart smell better, especially if you have a Boston Terrier or a freaking French Bulldog.
It's not designed for our guts to...
I made a decree. You want to improve your life? Here's a what's in your head podcast
always.
Tip to improving your life. My birthday's in June, and sadly, in my family, our extended family, we have a bunch of birthdays between April and fucking June. So by the time my birthday rolls around, we've already been down the road to three or four birthday parties. I did what Adam Carolla did years ago, and I made the decree that I no longer want birthday cake. I want fucking birthday pie. And I enjoy cake.
Take a shower.
I enjoy cake so much better than pie. Where do you fall?
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys cake guys or pie guys? I guess I need to outline. We're not talking fucking Dairy Queen ice cream cakes. I'm talking dry ass fucking
regular cake
versus pie.
Versus pie.
Where do you fall more?
If you're giving me like an awful cake.
It's your goddamn birthday. Do you want a pie or a cake?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if we're talking like a Publix birthday cake, that's probably better than pie. You know, if we're talking
better than a squash pie, absolutely. But is it better than a is
like
it
we
better
talked
than
about
a
earlier? You know, you go for like $6.95 to Costco. And you get like the 22-inch fucking pumpkin pie, And the thing is amazing.
Listen to Joe Biden over here, hasn't been grocery shopping. He thinks a big ass pumpkin pie is still $7.99. Your wife clearly does a grocery shopping in your house.
Well, I'll tell you what, next time I go to Costco, I'll take a picture of the
$12 fucking squash pie.
I was going to say, $11.97,
my guy. A quarter of a birthday cake at Publix costs $12. A standard size cake at Publix is $27 now. I guarantee you that pie is not $6.
That's just a rectangular fucking kids cake.
Yeah, that's just vanilla with some.
Hold on, I'm talking pumpkin pie here. Squash I'm not talking pie cake.
while he cheats once again and googles the cost app. of a squash pie from Costco, Mike, where he's do you stand?
Up the Costco app.
He's pulling up his recent orders. Where do you stand, Mike? Are you a pie guy or are you a cake guy?
I think traditionally for birthdays, I go with cake, but it has to be the right cake. I prefer a homemade cake because I think homemade cakes are better. They're made with love. I also prefer buttercream frosting instead of that nasty-ass fucking confection bullshit
got
dye in it. And tastes like fucking crap. So buttercream. I'm a buttercream guy. As well.
Hey, hold on. How do you know what crap tastes like?
Hey, you and I were both in the military. You time know. Out,
hold on. Wait a minute.
Like.
Stop.
I mean, Shooter McGavin and eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
Hold on.
You cleaned a latrine or two. You know what crap tastes like.
How do you know the difference in smell between propane and fucking natural gas? Because you work with the guy's a fucking plumber. I'm sure he's had inadvertently had shit in his mouth.
Okay, fair enough.
After all, 50% of your taste comes from your smell, so he knows what shit tastes like.
Propane actually doesn't have a smell.
I know it's artificially injected, so if there's a leak, you can smell it.
Yes, they do. It's very true.
Yeah, and I know fucking diesel's not red either. It's for tax stamp.
Don't you dare put red diesel in your fucking truck.
That's agricultural diesel.
Get stopped and see how big of a ticket you get.
Yeah. That's how you put that green food coloring in it. You'd be all right.
Mm-hmm. You better go get that shit from the pump.
Yep. It's cherry flavored, man.
Have you heard the recent conspiracy hypothesis of why the United Kingdom is going after their farmers so hard?
That was a thing. What, like earlier this year?
It's still a thing right now. Like 6,000 farmers are protesting because they have increased taxes on farmland on private farmers, and the hypothesis is because Britain is so goddamn small. It's an island, right? And they've run out of so much land that their government is basically going broke, and so they're trying to force. This is the conspiracy tinfoil hat side of it. They're trying to force these farmers to give up their land so then they could actually sell the fucking land and make the tax money off of it and then export all their farming to South America.
Really?
Yeah. They are taxing their farmers to death right now.
But see, we get if we do agricultural property or something like that, we actually get tax breaks, right?
Yeah, if you got a tax cow, yes. Buy acreage and you buy a tax cow, you can get... like, your father has a few acres, right?
Yeah.
He needs to rent a tax cow. What he does, he puts up a fence and throws a tax cow on there, and then he gets agricultural tax breaks. Right. That's why you'll see properties around Fort Myers and Cape Coral with some emaciated fucking cows sitting on them chewing at the sand because they're basically tax cows. Like, why is our cow on a property in downtown Cape Coral? There's not a single fucking barn around because it's a tax cow.
Can you do that with a goat or a chicken, or is it specific?
I'm sure you could, but I think the... I think the tax break's probably lesser. Remember the goat farm that used to be right there on College Parkway that is now a nice fancy hotel?
I don't remember that, actually.
Yeah, right across street from where Harbor Freight is.
On College Parkway?
Yeah, right there on the left.
Yeah, right next to the Walgreens.
Remember, you know where that big racetrack is and there's a Publix right there?
Vaguely.
Anyhow,
behind it?
No, right on the main thoroughfare.
South Point.
Right now, if you drive down there,
right across the street.
Right now, if you drive on that road, there's a huge like 6-story motel going up there. That was like a 5-acre plot with an old rusty barn on it. They just used to have goats. I think I have a video on my D-Train Facebook page from like fucking 7 years ago where I'm talking to the goat through the fence. That was a goat farm for the longest time. Those people held out and they held out. You know, they made out like a bandit on that property.
Well, they had to have. Oh, that's absolutely. That's like, you know, premium. That's prime right over the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Back to pie. Downtown. Back to pie, because this is a worldwide podcast and no one knows where the fuck College Parkway is. Real quick, we're going to go through this real quick if I can get this page to refresh. Back to pie. We're going to go down the breakdown, if I can get this fucking website to work now, it froze up, of the each state's most favoritest pie. Or top-ranking pie by state. We're not going to go through all 50 of them, but
we're not talking about the pie, the state pie. We're talking about the favorite pie.
The most popular pie in every state, according to Google. So these are the
basic... I'm still going to say key lime for Florida.
These are basically Google said, hey, in each one of these states... In each one of these states, these are the pie recipes that Googled the most from each one of these states. Thus, make the assumption being, well, if everybody in Georgia is fucking Googling how to make cream pie, then cream pie is the most favorite pie, right?
Well, that'd be pecan pie, I think.
Pecan pie. Alabama. What do you think we think Alabama is?
Alabama?
And I've never had this pie, never even seen this pie on a menu.
Really?
Yes. And I'm gonna also put out the caveat on here as we go down the list. Some of these aren't my definition of pie. Just because the word pie's in the fucking name, I don't think it counts. Chicken so it pot pie is not a goddamn pie.
It could be cobbler too.
I'm just saying.
It's a possibility.
As far as I'm concerned, chicken pot pie is not a pie, therefore it should not be on the list. Just because the word pie is in the name doesn't mean it's a pie in my book. But we'll,
so is that Alabama's?
No. Oh fuck. Why would I give it away?
I actually heard this not too long ago, but I can't remember what it is. It's something like Boston cream pie or something stupid like that.
No,
banana cream pie.
That's something we've all heard of. Now, I'm from Kentucky. Never heard of it, huh? My mom has a taste for buttermilk. She drinks buttermilk. I have never, in my 46 years, roaming around on this big blue marble, I didn't heard anybody say, you know what I could go for? I got a hankering for buttermilk pie.
Buttermilk
pie is the number one pie in Alabama.
Really?
Yes. Never fucking heard of it. It looks kind of like a poor man's cheesecake. Alaska.
Now, if we're going cheesecake, I love a good
salmon pie.
Alaska. This falls under the category of my, as I was just saying about chicken pot pie. I don't think this counts, but.
Baked Alaska.
Nope. Close. Mike.
So it's a, it's not a sweet pie.
The pie's in the name.
Meat pie.
Close. Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie. Okay.
When I think pie, I think dessert. Once again, chicken pot pie is not a fucking pie. I don't think shepherd pie should be on this list, but I guess apparently pie is.
Well, shepherd's pie isn't even pie.
Exactly.
I mean, if we're talking shepherd's pie,
Arizona. This one's a little surprising.
Peach.
Cherry pie.
Lemon meringue.
Lemon meringue on the windowsill.
Ooh, okay. Alabama and Arkansas, they must be really close together. Once again, Arkansas loves their buttermilk pie as well.
Okay.
California.
Lemon meringue.
Nope. That was Arizona's. But I guess it could share, but they are close. But no. Mike?
I don't know what kind of fucking pie. You live there, so
weed.
It'd be easier for you.
Mud pie.
Mud pie, so just chocolate pie.
Chocolate pie with some marshmallows on it. Colorado, we're going back to the fucking chicken pot pie assholes.
Weed pie.
Colorado. Yeah. Here's a. I've heard of a
mile high pie,
stoner pie.
I've had baked spaghetti before, but I've never heard of a spaghetti pie. Once again, just because pie is in the fucking name, it should not count.
Hey, spaghetti pie, that's only because that's a stoner state.
Connecticut?
Somebody took spaghetti, put it in a fucking pie mold, and said, pie.
Connecticut is a perfect example.
Dude,
Connecticut.
Guess what I came up with, bro? Spaghetti pie, yeah.
Connecticut, chicken pot pie, shouldn't count. Delaware, shepherd's pie, shouldn't count. Florida, you're right, key lime pie.
Yep.
Georgia, hanging out with fucking Arkansas and fucking those assholes in Alabama.
No way.
Yeah.
Fuck. It's not.
Buttermilk.
Pecan.
Buttermilk pie. I'm gonna have to try this buttermilk pie.
I was gonna say pecan or peach cobbler. I mean, it is the peach state.
Idaho. What do you think Idaho's is?
Potato pie. Shepherd's pie again?
Nope. There's a real legit
sweet potato pie.
There's a real legit pie that you would see at Denny's.
Blackberry pie.
Close. Morgan, you want to shot up?
Fruit pie.
Strawberry pie.
Strawberry.
Strawberry, okay.
Illinois, I think, has the best taste. French silk pie. I was a huge fan of French silk pie back in the day.
Never had it.
Kansas, bunch of assholes are going cheeseburger pie. Louisiana.
Gumbo pie.
Close, Mike.
You said gumbo pie?
Yeah.
Etouffee?
Fuck. Some kind of seafood pie or something, I'm sure.
Crawfish pie.
Yeah, there it is.
And fucking the assholes in Kansas and Michigan are hanging out. They both like cheeseburger pie. Mississippi's on the buttermilk pie bandwagon. Minnesota goes with the French.
Only a few actual sweet pies.
What's Oregon?
Origami?
Dick pie.
Okay. Oregon is a legit pie you would see at a diner. I'll give you a chance to guess.
I'm going to say
blueberry.
I'm going to say, like, it's a berry pie.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's cut. I think it's cut
probably
with something
blackberry.
Else. I think it's cut with something else.
Well, we're cutting our pies now?
Apparently. Oh, a rhubarb
mixed
is
berry.
Its own. A rhubarb is its own thing, right? This is strawberry
yeah.
rhubarb.
Strawberry rhubarb
pie. Yeah.
Okay.
Pennsylvania, they want the tomato pie. What the fuck? South Carolina tomato pie.
Pennsylvania is not chocolate pie.
Nope.
All right, hang on. Here's a debate for you. Is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable?
It grows on the ground.
Okay. It's a fruit.
Well, technically it grows on a
the
tree.
The difference between knowledge and wisdom is knowing that a tomato is fruit and having the wisdom to know not to put it in a fruit pie.
Right. And as I understand it, a tomato is classified as a fruit because, number one, it has seeds. And number two, it does grow on a tree or a bush of some kind.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting. Out of these 50 fucking states, well, we're going to go through all 50 of them, but the first page, I never heard of a millionaire pie.
Is that New York?
No, it's Texas, believe it or not.
Really?
Washington okay. State is banana pie, banana cream. Utah's banana cream. We're not going to go through the whole list, but what's
banana
the one pie that we haven't mentioned yet?
Pumpkin.
Well, pumpkin we skipped over. Pumpkin was actually
apple.
Yes, and that's weird because it's American as apple pie, really? Because apparently no one likes fucking apple pie. Which I was.
Washington's probably apple pie.
No, Washington is banana cream pie.
Banana cream pie.
The only person who South Dakota.
South Dakota, huh?
Apple pie. So much for American as apple pie, right? South Dakota. Now, I used to be a pumpkin pie freak because as a child, I could only get pumpkin pie during fucking Thanksgiving. But as an adult, I just bought pumpkin pie whenever I saw it and I would eat it. And I could appreciate the random apple pie. Until I discovered a delicacy that is known as the Dutch apple pie.
Oh, yeah.
And if you give me a choice between a best pumpkin pie you can find or a mediocre Dutch apple pie that's been sitting in the refrigerator overnight. Oh, there's nothing better than an ice cold fucking slice of apple pie. I love a nice slice of cold Dutch apple pie. And for those uninitiated in the differences between a standard apple pie and a Dutch apple pie, the Dutch apple pie is the one with the little crumblies on top. Fucking delectable.
Yep.
What's who does the apple pie with like milk on top of it or something? You ever heard of that?
No. What?
I know people do pie. Ice cream with their pie.
That's apple pie la mode. Here's some hot melt. No. Apparently a lot of people don't like wet apple pie. I typed the wet apple pie and it was like, how do I stop this from getting wet? Apple pie wet types. Apple pie types. Let's see here. 16 fantastic apple pie recipes. Well, there's the Dutch apple pie, number one. Old-fashioned apple pie. That's one where you basically put the hymen on top of it. Apple cheddar rye.
That's gross.
Apple flambé pie. That's where you actually have slices of apple. Dried apple hand pies. I don't see a wet pie there, Mike. Apple pie bars. Mountain Rose apple pie.
Maybe that's something that somebody specifically did.
Salted caramel. That's the kind where you take the crust and you like weave it on top. Deep dish all-American cinnamon apple pie. Deep dish caramel apple pie.
Caramel.
Apple pie a la mode ice cream sandwiches. Free ice cream sandwiches! Double-crusted apple pie slash apricot pie. We don't need to cut apple pies. I'll be fucking putting apricots in my goddamn apple pies. Puff pastry apple pie. That sounds fun. Cumin and gingery glazed apple. Why do we need cumin in our apple pie?
Couldn't tell you, buddy.
Where'd Morgan go? He fell off, huh?
I think he went to go take a shit.
He went to go drop a double deuce. Drop a double deuce.
Double on him.
Double deuce. Well, until Morgan comes back and we start the next topic. The last couple episodes we've been talking about childhood memories. Or memories, whichever one you prefer. Memories.
I like memories.
Big, small, we love them all. I'm not a big fan of the pepperoni size ones, but that's neither here nor there. In your world. In a world. I don't know, this may not apply to you because you may...
One man.
Were, as a child, was on-demand cartoons a thing yet, or were you still have to catch as catch can?
No. Satellite TV was a thing, but...
So you could change time zones and catch something 3 hours early or 3 hours later.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, on old school. Like, remember how we were talking about Morgan has the full-size satellite dish that his neighbor kid wish falls over so he can skateboard in it?
Yeah.
On those old ones, you could actually change satellites. And so, like, if you lived on the East Coast and you missed a program, you could actually hit a West Coast satellite feed and watch the show 3 hours from now because the times didn't change.
That was, like,
80s. Yeah, early 80s.
Yeah, 80s. So I remember seeing those dishes.
The big black ones and the white ones.
Big black metal mesh dish that was perforated.
Yep.
And you know, had this big arm, or actually it had the three thing.
Yep. And the giant like diode in the middle.
Yep. So I do remember that. I don't remember it actively working. I remember asking what the hell that was and being told it was a satellite dish, and that was kind of new to me.
Yeah.
But the satellite that I do remember specifically was the smaller gray dish
that would either have been Dish Network or it would have been
it was DirecTV.
DirecTV.
And it was back when you had to get an activation card.
Yep.
So
I had a bootleg uncle.
I remember specifically you could find a naughty man.
Yeah, my uncle was one in the early 2000s. That's what I was going to say. He would surf from yard sale to yard sale, buy people's DirecTV boxes, pull the cards out, reprogram them, and then sell them to his friends.
Yeah, like $20 a pop.
I was a naughty man. Ooh, did I ever tell you I was a naughty man?
You were a naughty man?
I was a naughty man. So when I worked at the ambulance plant, One of our engineers who was handy with a soldering iron, couldn't be any geek off the street, got to earn your keep, if you know what I mean. He was early in on the hacked PlayStation 2s. You would bring him your PlayStation 2, and for $50, he would solder the chip in there. And then we had another naughty man who would provide bootleg games. Well, I found out as a young, aspiring computer person that I am today, how he was doing it. And Nero, the first version of Nero, would copy...
The old burning software?
Nero, the very first, second version of Nero, the burning software, would copy bootleg games. And so we would go to Blockbuster...
Before the security encryptions and shit got put in place.
And before they just stopped doing it. Right. I still have a copy on here somewhere, but it don't work. You could go to Blockbuster and rent Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 and all the games, go home and copy it using Nero. And so we had one guy installing the chips, and then there's two or three of us who were renting the games and burning them. And then, you know, one guy got pissed when I started doing it because I was undercutting him. But, yeah, so... I would sell bootleg copies of games. And then the other thing I would do, because I had no life, I would sit around for hours because I started skateboarding in second grade and I stopped when I was 21, but I used to skate parks and everything else. I would sit on Tony Skater Pro Skater 2 for hours making skate parks.
Yeah.
Because I knew the lines. I knew what a great skate park would be. And then I would skate it and see how it flowed. And then people would bring me their memory. I wouldn't charge them anything, but they would bring me their memory cards. And I would give them copies of my custom-made skate parks to skate on their Tony Hawk Pro Skaters.
I used to do that for kids that were not tech-savvy. And back when, like, LimeWire and BearShare and Bitchy and uTorrent, when you were torrent sharing.
Kazaa, like the original LimeWire. Morpheus was the original one.
Was it?
Well, Morpheus ended up turning into LimeWire.
But I would try and track down all the leaked albums and stuff like that that everybody was anticipating and waiting for. And
then you had that
copy of it.
Yeah, or you did, but as some asshole relabeled Britney Spears. And like, why the fuck do I got to hit me baby one more time on my computer? Yeah,
exactly.
But y'all aren't special.
No.
We had that back in the 80s.
Yeah, he used to hold his fucking tape recorder up to the radio after they play his song for the fifth time.
Absolutely. Wait for that son of a bitch DJ to quit talking so he wouldn't fuck up my bootleg cassette.
Yeah, but see, the problem is Morgan got so used to having the Nissan ad at the end of All Me So Horny that when he would sing it, he would say, the new 83 models are in, as it tapered into the Nissan ad. But no,
it's a new stanza.
The reason I bring it up is we had appointment viewing. And so my question, to get back to where we started, Mike, for you, what was the 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old Mike's appointment cartoon watching? Whether it was Saturday or, more importantly, Saturday morning cartoons were kind of blah. By the time I was in middle school, it was more the after-school cartoons that came on from 3 to 5:30. What was the appointment viewing cartoon that you had to see?
I was still part of the generation that did outside shit. I mean, as far as like...
Well, so did we. Once again, the cartoons only ran for an hour and a half to 2 hours after school.
Yeah, but again, I'm not sure that it really... I mean, if I went to watch cartoons, I just flipped it on and watched whatever was on.
Gotcha.
There wasn't a specific cartoon. Now, my generation is the generation that grew up with SpongeBob.
Mm-hmm.
So, because SpongeBob came out in 1999, and surprisingly, is still running today in 26 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was all the craze. You know, but I mean, if I went to a buddy's house or whatever, we would hang out and play and stuff like that. And we turn on, you know, one of the cartoon channels, Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon or whatever. It was like Rocket Power, SpongeBob.
Okay, I was just going to ask, what about, were you into Rocket Power and about Rugrats?
Rugrats. I mean, absolutely, Rugrats. There was some other one. There was some stuff on Kids Next Door, Cartoon Network that we used to watch a lot, like Kids Next Door. That was one of them. Dexter's Laboratory was another one. You know, it was just, it was kind of
So.
a, it was every, it was like all the shows that were around when I was when I was younger, we were pretty interested in, up until like once I got a little bit older, and but I was still watching like cartoon shows. Once the anime stuff started really getting real big, like the in America in particular, because it was big in like Japan and shit like that, but like Dragon Ball Z, like some of my friends went down that rabbit hole. That wasn't my thing. So, I mean, I watched a little bit of it, but I kind of steered clear of it for the most part.
So before you jump in, Don, I want to tell you the difference between, our three generations. So I'm very familiar with Rugrats,
Yeah, 'cause you
Rocket
had
Power,
kids.
because my oldest son is, I think, about 2 years younger than Mike.
Yeah, he's what,
So
29
I
or 30?
Yeah, he's 29,
Yeah.
so he's like 3 years younger than
Well,
me,
see,
right?
I became a father. It's
I just turned 32, so yeah, he's
Yeah,
about right
I
there.
became a father at 17. So my daughter was
Yeah.
born in 1996. And so, she was Pokemon, the Rugrats, all that same era stuff, the
Yeah.
SpongeBob and all that. So I definitely remember
So
that.
one more thing. You brought up Mike, the elevation of anime. I
Yeah.
actually got in on the ground floor of anime when I was a kid,
Really?
and
He
we had
liked
Speed
Transor
Racer.
Z.
So Speed Racer was like the original anime in
Oh,
America, if I'm not mistaken.
yeah.
So, I would come home, and back to Don's point, I would come home from school 1977, 78, 3:30 was Speed Racer. So I'd come home, get my glass of milk, glass of, OJ, whatever, sit down in front of the TV and watch Speed Racer. The day they changed it from Speed Racer to the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show, I was so mad. I was livid, like throwing my juice cup, whatever. It's like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, and those were still popular even, when I was, I mean, they're still popular today. I mean, they're classics, but
Well, it
the
depends.
whole Warner Brothers,
Well,
type
it
universe.
depends because there were
MTV
eras. There
brought
were
Speed Racer back, what, like 15 years ago or so.
Yeah, but there were eras of cartoons. You had the original Bugs Bunny from the 40s, which played well into the 80s, but then there was a time in the 70s, and Tom and Jerry fell victim to this hard. There's about two seasons of Tom and Jerry that were put out in the late 70s that make you feel like, it was produced by the world's biggest Pink Floyd fans. It's, the ones I'm talking about. They're the ones with no dialogue. It's got a bunch of weird music in the background and a bunch of weird like there's a clear demarcation from early Tom and Jerry with the mammy and the high quality backgrounds and the color film to something that right around 77 to like 81 the art went to shit. They put in all weird background music and all just weird, real weird like organization, and then it switched to the newer versions in the 80s. But yeah, there was a real good sweet spot. I think for me, yeah, back when I was like elementary school, we're into the Voltron, or if you're poor, the Transor Z and all that stuff, and He-Man and all that. But middle school for me is when I actually think about this stuff. And I would say it had to be after school, it had to have been DuckTales, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, clearly. And I'm trying to think. Mask was an 80s cartoon. I remember the toys for Mask, but that was over
What
by.
about G.I. Joe?
G.I. Joe, the Real American Hero. Yeah, but that once again, by the 90s, that was kind of played out. That was more of an 80s thing. Yeah.
Well, now you know.
Knowing is half the battle. Fun fact, you know Hawk? The G.I. Joe named Hawk or Hawkeye? I think we talked about this before.
I don't remember.
Yeah, G.I.
On
Joe.
G.I.
He's
Joe.
Hawk. He's the main commander. He's the guy that has like the weird version of the M41, I mean of the M1 helmet. He's got the cargo pants on and like the airborne bomber jacket. So Hawk was his operator name. And I never knew this until recently. On the back of the original G.I. Joes, they had bios. And on the back of his, you know what Hawk's real name was? Clayton M. Abernathy. Now, how the fuck are you going to have a family of Abernathys growing up in the 80s and the key role G.I. Joe character, the number one fucking 3-inch action figure of the time, shared the same last name and no one thought to bring it up? I had to find out when I was 33. You figure that would come up somewhere in conversation. Hey, by the way, this asshole has your last name. No. Hawk's real name, Clayton M. Abernathy. He was born in Denver, Colorado. He comes from a wealthy family whose influence enables him to enroll in West Point. And he's one of those assholes. He graduated at the top of his class. He also graduated from the Advanced Infantry Training and Covert Ops School and served as a fictional North Atlantic Range Commander in the USAENGCOM and EVR missile radar training. Hawk is qualified expert to use the M16 rifle, him and everybody else in the infantry at the time.
And yeah, absolutely.
And the M1911A1 automatic pistol. Yep.
Here's a question. I'm sure, Morgan, you probably did, but I don't know what this, I don't know why, probably because we were talking about G.I. Joe and all that, but did you do...
Well, he is the real American hero.
Did Morgan, I'm sure you did, but did you do bomb drills and stuff like that in school? Like nuclear
actually
bombs,
you know that like was that was just a little bit before me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, by then we figured out that a you know a press board desk, you know, isn't gonna save you from a nuclear blast.
Right.
So
done.
Hold on, that does remind me. We are required by federal mandate to make sure we get all of our PSAs out of the way, and we haven't fulfilled our requirements by the government.
This is a test
hold on.
The emergency broadcast system.
Hold on,
this is only a test.
I got to get this out of the way. Hold on 1 second. Dum, deedle, dum, dum.
Did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover. This is an official civil defense film produced in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration and in consultation with the Safety Commission of the National Education Association. Produced by Archer Productions Incorporated.
Yeah, they're bringing that back due to the latest circumstances in the Ukraine-Russian war. Now that Biden, who's interestingly enough, was found not competent enough to run for re-election, but still competent enough to say to, hey, Ukraine, have fun lobbing shit over the Russian borders. I won't be around in 3 years to deal with it.
Not only go ahead and lob shit over the border, lob our shit that we gave you over the border.
To the country who has modern-day propaganda ministers who are saying, much in the stylings of a Goebbels, the Ukrainians are too dumb and too inferior to operate this high-tech technology. Clearly, the Americans and the fucking UN are the ones doing it because, you know, those goofy-ass Ukrainians, which we try to say are our cousins, which is why we're trying to reappropriate the country, because after all, we're trying to bring them back to freedom, but they're too dumb to hit a button on a fucking... Yeah, so now their propaganda minister saying that the Ukrainian soldiers didn't launch his equipment because they're too dumb to figure it out, that it clearly was American or UN soldiers. And so, yeah, that's going on right now.
Kind of like the Democrats saying it's difficult to get IDs to go vote.
No, that's just because the political Democrats are the same racists that's always been involved. Speaking of which, we all saw the John Jones victory dance after he won the belt, jumped over the cage and did his Trump dance. And then we're seeing all the football players doing the Trump dance in the end zone. Can you guys think of a time in your life or even before your life where pop culture did such a huge changeover on a political figure? And then I guess that raises the question, did these people really do a changeover, or was the fact that he won at such a great number and now they're not afraid to admit that they've always been down for the cause?
I think Bill Clinton, like the pop culture thing that sticks out for me was him playing saxophone on Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, but I guess the only difference is Bill Clinton didn't go from being hated by every media source in the world to him all of a sudden playing saxophone and now he's this big darling. He was kind of propped up because he was a Democrat.
Well, but Trump's not anybody's darling right now. I mean, you know, maybe like the voters, but the media still hates him.
Really? Because Rogan. Morgan Joe and his wife actually went to fucking Florida and hung out with him. And so now the MSN fans are getting pissed.
Mika's always, that was more like, hey, sorry, Don, we really effed up. And
because the ratings are going through the trash.
Please don't ruin us.
Because the ratings are going through the trash.
My thought on it is, based off of everything that I've heard and read in years past, before my tenure on Earth. and watching.
So for most
reading,
of my life?
Right. And watching and reading and, seeing all this stuff in the media and the news and online and stuff like that is that, I think this is the most involved that people have really ever been, I think, in politics.
Well, see, instinctively, I want to say Reagan, but then I got to thinking I'm looking at Reagan through the eyes of a teenager, of an elementary school kid, who lived during a time where we still had patriotism and appreciation for our president. But then you have to remember, on a pop culture scale, he wasn't beloved by the Hollywood and the media, because you got to remember Genesis video for This Is the World We Live In.
Oh, Land of Confusion.
Land of Confusion. Yeah. They had the Reagan puppets making him look like a buffoon sleeping with his monkey. Saturday Night Live was constantly busting Reagan's balls. So even though our schools still had decorum, at least in Kentucky and Ohio, where, they still kind of say, yes, our president, had the picture of him on the wall with the flag.
Yeah.
Pop culture, I don't think Rolling Stone and I don't think the major newspapers and Saturday Night Live, I don't think they were singing the praises of Ronald Reagan. So I don't know if he would count either.
SNL's never been like that, though. I mean, look at Chevy Chase making fun of Jerry Ford.
Yeah, but this year they're actually making fun of fucking Kamala this time around.
Well, I was really surprised by that. Mm-hmm. Maya Rudolph does really great Kamala.
She does an excellent job, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would have to say that probably this year they've done the best job that I can remember. And I've been around for the entirety of SNL.
Well, you're a better man than I am, because I lost interest 7-8 years ago.
I just watch clips. I don't watch a show anymore, except for the Saturday after the election. I watched the cold open because I just had to see how they were going to race.
I lost.
Did either of you see it?
No, I didn't watch it. I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore. I lost interest in Saturday Night Live, South Park, and David Letterman for the same different reasons. And that is hanging on to a well-worn-out fucking joke. When every episode of South Park was about the devil banging Saddam, it's like, okay, it's played out. One episode was funny. 18 episodes, it's played out. Lost interest. When David Letterman was doing 10-minute, 15-minute monologues on Sarah Palin 3 years after she lost and was no longer relevant, I'm like, okay, this is getting old. Still with the Sarah Palin jokes. So I stopped watching Letterman.
Fucking horse.
It's like, yeah, when she was relevant and, running for vice president, fine, make fun of her. But that was 3 fucking years ago. Your writers have nothing else. And then Saturday Night Live, I think Saturday Night Live was more of a, I I surely didn't outmature, but I think okay. I outgrew the comedy. To me, Saturday Night Live was great when I was a 12-year-old kid who laughed at fart and dick jokes. Once I got in my late 20s, I just couldn't relate with the writing. So I didn't find it funny.
Well, the problem with SNL is they've always tried to be the smartest, you know, the smartest people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, not always. They used to be the highest people in the room, and that's when it was the funniest with John Belushi and all them, when they were just coming out there all coked up and fucking higher and drunker and shit. But once they went corporate, yes, they were always just trying to, you know, be the smartest person in the room. Go ahead.
I kind of lost that train of thought. It kind of derailed. So,
well, the good news is Dateline, November 20th, NBC, MSNBC staffers are, quote, in a panic, according to New York Post. So, they're, you know, this isn't exactly a right-leaning mag. Are in a panic as NBC parent Comcast plans to spin off the channel and possibly change its name. Which I'm surprised it took that long, because I'm not saying this is where they got the name, but I remember MSNBC kind of got popular when MSN.com from Microsoft came out. I didn't know if they were together, but panic engulfed MSNBC headquarters on Wednesdays after parent company Comcast confirmed a massive spinoff of its cable properties, with top executives even suggesting the left-leaning network may be forced to change its name. MSNBC star Rachel Maddow, Chris Jansen, and Kate Torr joined the tense 10 a.m. meeting at 30 Rock in Midtown by the NBC Universal chairman Mark Lazarus, who will lead the new company, sources told the Post. Staffers fearing looming layoffs peppered him with questions about the network, why the network will need to change its name, logo, and headquarters after reports surfaced that the new entity could be cut off from the reporting muscle of NBC News, sources said. I think NBC proper just wants to distance themselves with the dumpster fire that the MSNBC title has garnered them. And they're probably like, hey,
gosh,
you know, your stink's rubbing off on the NBC part of your name, and so we need to separate. But
so... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, this week, a couple days ago, I think media is actually changing quite a bit. So, you know, Roadkill,
mm-hmm.
Mike Finnegan, mm-hmm. Dave Freiberger. So, the Motor Trend Network mm-hmm. has ceased production. So, anything they had in the hopper is going to go ahead and, you know, get produced, but there's no longer going to be any Roadkill Garage.
Well, yes, and yes. But from what I understand, because I've been watching a lot of them, they have scheduled about a 3-year window. There's just going to be reruns, so you'll still be able to see the old ones. But yeah, they're going to be rerunning.
But on Motor Trend Channel,
Motor Trend Channel, and the streaming app both. They're just not producing any.
Discovery Plus took over Motor Trend.
On Discovery and whatever the other one is, that because there's two of them that are streaming it.
I think it was Max, maybe.
Because I was watching Freiberger put up a video last night, and he's like, you know, for the longest time I held my tongue, but now's my opportunity. For all you people who claim that I was the reason they took Roadkill off of YouTube and went straight to the paywall, that's not the case. I actually fought against it so hard, saying, let's keep Roadkill on YouTube, and then we'll offer these spinoffs. He said, that's where Roadkill Garage came from. It was supposed to be on TV, and then you get Roadkill on YouTube, but the executives decided to pull both of them. I had a feeling this was coming, because I noticed about a month ago, I'm like, this new YouTube channel popped up on my stream, Freiberger's YouTube channel, and then David Finnegan's YouTube channel. And then there's what's his dick from the Garage Show, and then there's the other.
All of them
independently start popping up there on YouTube channels. I'm like, I wonder if something's getting ready to happen. And then on Tuesday, the word came out. Like, that makes sense. But the crazy thing is,
so Finnegan's Garage has been around for years. Yeah. Freiberger's had his channel, but he never did anything with it. And about, I don't know, 3-4 months ago,
they started airing old Roadkills, which I don't know how they got away with that.
And he started doing fresh content.
Yeah, I know, but they've also been replaying old episodes of Roadkill, which I don't know how he got access to the intellectual properties for that.
Yeah, but he may own some of the rights to the show, though, too.
No, because he said he never owned rights to the show because how that – because he goes into his whole video last night. He said how the whole thing came to be is him and Finnegan were working for Hot Rod Magazine. And when Motor Trend launched their YouTube channel, they needed fresh content. And Freiberger actually did an article for Hot Rod Magazine where him and the guy from Engine Masters back in the day went and they found an old fucking clapped out car, rebuilt it, and essentially did a roadkill, but on paper. And then him and Finnegan, when Motor Trend started looking for YouTube content, they saw another video that Freiberger and Finnegan did for Hot Rod YouTube channel where they kind of did the same thing. They went and they started, basically they were kind of like when I worked at K-Rock, right? When I worked at K-Rock, it was, hey, we need video content. We need, that's why Stan and I were doing, you know, on today's episode, videos every day and put them on the K-Rock page. It was, we need video content. And so Freiberger and Finnegan decided, hey, you know, when we go fix this shit up, let's just film it. And they started putting that. And then when Motor Trend launched their YouTube channel, they just started taking their videos that they recorded as employees. So they never made any residual. Obviously, their salaries got upped as the popularity went by. But when they first started doing it, it was just part of their gig. And then when they did the very first episode of Roadkill, it got like 1 million views in 2 days. And so at that point, that's when the company started having them produce more and more episodes of Roadkill. And then obviously their salaries increased based on that. But no, they started doing it strictly as employees. Kind of like when I worked for Beasley Broadcasting, we were required to make videos to put on YouTube. We didn't get paid for them. It was just part of our job. Just like Stan Haney, part of their job is to record commercials. They don't make extra money for those commercials that they record that you hear on the air. That was part of their contract. And that's what Finnegan, that's what Freiberg was pointing out. I was like, you know, for all you people thinking that he's like, I never made a money. I didn't make a, my salary did not increase one dime when it went from YouTube over to the pay channel. He's like, I made no money with that. So it wasn't me. It was the executives who made that decision. But yeah, so that sucks to see because Donut, the YouTube channel Donut's gone to shit because of these big big investment firms. And now we lost Motor Trend.
Well, Donut, fucking.
Well, but the beautiful thing is,
Throttle splitting up now.
Go ahead, Morgan.
So all the guys from Motor Trend, Dave Chappelle, Fred Williams, the guys that did Dirt Every Day, Finnegan, Freiberger, Lucky Costa, they all have their own YouTube channels.
Yep.
So.
And they have the experience.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They just, you know,
and the crazy thing is I'm so old that I've been following all of these guys since they were, you know, magazine people.
Yep.
You know, back in the 80s and 90s.
See, I can't stake that claim. I didn't become aware of Roadkill and any of that until the Motor Trend TV when Velocity made the switch to Motor Trend and they started airing them. Cuz I always watched Velocity.
So Four Wheel and Off Road, Four Wheeler, Hot Rod Magazine, all of those. I've been reading those since the 80s. So I knew who Freiberger, Fred Williams, all those guys were, you know, years ago, reading their magazine articles.
I started watching Roadkill probably back on like their second or third season. Long before the paid subscription and all that stuff, it was definitely on YouTube, but they had started to announce and say, you know, we're moving our platform to the Motor Trend on demand app
and the TV. That's
what they called it back TV show back then. Yeah, and doing the TV show.
Oh no, it was before the TV show. They went to the app first.
I don't remember. I think they did. And then because they had the Motor Trend channel,
mm-hmm.
and their competition with that, I think, was Velocity Channel.
No, maybe no. I don't know if that was their competition, but I know Velocity turned in the Motor Trend.
Did it?
Yeah, because I was watching Velocity Channel all the time, and it drive Kerry crazy. Like, why are you watching? You don't know anything about cars, because you know that's where Fast and Loud was at, and that was where Iron City and all those other
Iron Resurrection,
all the cloned ones were at. Right. There was a good show that came out of Canada that I watched. It was pretty good. But no, the funny thing was,
DeBoss Garage, those guys out of Canada were awesome. No,
there's another one where the guy had like the dreads, Rust City, something or other. But it was interesting because before I cut the cord and I went to streaming, I was watching Motor Trend. It was like I'd turn it on when nothing else was on. But I noticed Motor Trend went the way, was starting to go the way that True TV went, right? True TV had all these struggling shows and then it was just 24 hours fucking, and I'd watched them since day one, then I got burnt out. But True TV turned into 24 hours of Impractical Jokers. Well, Motor Trend was going the same way. It was basically 24 hours of Roadkill, Roadkill Garage, Faster with Finnegan. It was basically those four guys 24 hours a day, with the exception on Sunday. Then they would have their chicks in the garage and shit.
I don't have traditional. I use YouTube TV. And the only thing that we really use YouTube TV for is my wife likes to watch the singing shows. And then she also likes to watch the news in the morning and in the evening. That's the only reason really why we have it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. And honestly, we split a subscription with somebody else. So
there you go.
That's kind of how that works. But when I watch, if I pop on Motor Trend, it was actually probably about a week or two ago. I was on there and I was scrolling through Motor Trend's channel and it was Roadkill. For like 9 hours.
Yeah. They became right Motor Trend's version of Impractical Jokers.
And that's just like MTV. Do you know what MTV's programming is? Like 22 hours out of 24
hours. It used
to be
Jersey Shore, but I don't know what it is.
Ridiculousness.
Now. Yeah.
Rob Dyrdek practically owns MTV these days, and he's the reason why they're still afloat.
Nope.
Ridiculousness airs and does replays and stuff like that. That's an exaggeration, but probably 9 out of 24 hours a day.
And then you can go on Roku TV and they have an entire channel dedicated to Jersey Shore and this and that. Yep. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We're already going long. It's going to wrap it up for this episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. Just a reminder, the December Patreon giveaway is started up. If you haven't done so yet, head over to patreon.com/D410 or just look for D410 Media on Patreon. This is the new prize. This is actually very nice if you're into art and prints. This month we are thrilled to give away a featured, beautiful, exclusive print by Military Aerospace Art, showcasing the incredible bravery of First Lieutenant Howie Lamb Jr. This stunning piece captured the historic mission on March 19, 1945, with Lieutenant Lamb piloting his P-51 Mustang, the Etta Jane II, intercepting and destroying a low-flying Aldo 234 jet. This print is also autographed by Mr. Lamb himself. Once again, all you have to do is be an active paid subscription holder over at our patreon.com. You know, you sign up for the dollar a month, you're just as eligible as the people who signed up for the $7.50 a month. Look, the Patreon goes to help us pay for the web hosting and basically Zoom. It helps us basically break even instead of paying out of the pocket for the background, you know, bandwidth. I'm constantly getting harassed by my web host saying, "Hey, asshole, you got too much shit on your server. You need to delete it," which I have to thin out some old episodes, which is fine because then I just repost them in the future. But yeah, if you want to help support what we do here, just head over to patreon.com/D410 or head over to youtube.com, look for D410 Media. Just watch our videos. You know, don't cost you a thing. We got some mediocre content on there. You might find somewhat funny. Go check that out and help support the cause. For myself, Mike, and Morgan, we want to thank each and every one of you, and we'll talk to you all next week.